praise you. We thank you for just this simple Bible study tonight, Lord, going through your word. And Lord, the word that you've exalted above your very name, we look to your word tonight. We look to your comfort and your guidance to meet each and every need, oh Lord. And Father, we just thank you that with the cold weather that's coming, that we know that it can bring that horrible ice on our highways. And we just ask if that does happen, Lord, for perfect safety for each and every person. And speaking of that, Lord, thanking you in advance for taking care of Steve and Carol, all the mission team that's going to build our very first home in Reynosa, Lord, for a family, to give them a beautiful home, a new home with new things inside of it as well, Lord. Bless them, keep them safe, let them have perfect weather, Lord, and keep each and every one of them in your perfect will. Bring them home safely to us, O Lord. And we just continue to lift up those in the body who've been ill, and Lord, that you would just continually heal them and comfort them. Now bless us tonight in Jesus' name. And the church says, amen. Amen. Let's turn our Bibles tonight as we continue our study through the book of Numbers. We're in Numbers chapter 15 and Numbers 16 tonight. I'm only going to cover part of chapter 15, as chapter 16 is actually our main text tonight. And, you know, we're counting on Numbers, remember, to remind us not to repeat the same mistakes that the first generation that God brought out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You know, they refused to enter the land last time we were together. They walking in the sin of unbelief. And so what happens is that they're going to die now in the wilderness. They're going to spend 40 years of their life, wasted life, and they're going to die there in the wilderness. Remember when we left off in the book of Numbers chapter 14, where it says, now the Amalekites and the Canaanites dwell in the valley, and then Moses told them, he says, tomorrow turn and move out into the wilderness by the way of the Red Sea. That's a heartbreaking word. They refused to enter the land that God had given them. They compared themselves to little grasshoppers or insects, and they said that the giants in the land were so much bigger than they were, and they didn't believe that God was that big. And so they had to turn their back and go back into the wilderness, and they're going to wander there now for 40 years. That first generation, they're all going to die. They're going to perish there. So looking tonight, the title of our message tonight is, I'm Just a Levite. Let me say that again. I'm just a Levite, but that's in chapter 16. Let's look briefly at chapter 15 tonight. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel and say to them, when you have come into the land, you are to inhabit, which I am giving to you. Did you notice that God says when? Did you see the incredible grace of God? Even though the children of Israel, they have sinned, they refuse to enter into the land of promise that God was giving them. God says, I'm going to defeat all of your enemies. Just go ahead and go enter into it. God says, now you're the first generation, you're going to die. But the Lord's grace, he says, but my promise still stands, not to the first generation, but to the second generation, meaning their children. Isn't it sad that the offerings in chapter 15 that we're going to cover just briefly, but they're never ever going to be able to offer these offerings, that's the first generation, because they're all going to die in the wilderness. And they miss their destiny because of the sin of unbelief. Now, in chapter 15, we've covered all these offerings and sacrifices in depth in the book of Leviticus. And it's almost like, you know, the Lord is saying, giving Moses a briefing on what's going to happen when they finally do get into the land. And so these offerings will not be taking place until the second generation enters the land and so forth. So the first one, of course, is the burnt offering, which is the oldest offering known to man. The first one that, Abel offered a burnt offering unto the Lord. Then in the new world, when Noah came in, he offered a burnt offering to the Lord. And remember, the burnt offering speaks of total dedication. That it's put on the altar and it's all consumed. It's burned up into the fire. And, you know, we're to be a living sacrifice unto the Lord, totally dedicated unto the Lord. And Jesus is our burnt offering. Amen. He totally dedicated himself to the Lord for us. Now drop down to verse 30. And it says in verse 30, but the person who does anything presumptuously, meaning literally with disdain for the will of God or with a high hand, Whether he's native born, stranger, that one brings reproach on the Lord, and he shall be cut off from his people because he has despised the word of the Lord and has broken his commandment. That person shall be completely cut off, and his guilt shall be upon him. So this presumptuous sin, this high-handed sin, is premeditated sin. In other words, the person knows exactly what they're doing. It's a deliberate thing. And verse 32 gives us an example of that type of person. It says, "And now while the children of Israel were in the wilderness, they found a man gathering sticks on the what? The Sabbath day." That's the fourth commandment. Remember in Exodus chapter 20 that remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy, saith the Lord. 6 days ye shall work, but the seventh day ye shall rest. And so whoever broke the Sabbath day would be completely cut off. Exiled or whatever, excommunicated and so forth from the children of Israel. And you know, if you study out the Talmud and all of the traditions of the Sabbath and so forth, remember that, you know, you could not carry firewood. You couldn't carry anything heavier than a fig. Think about that for a moment. And you couldn't even walk, I think it was like, 3,000 feet away from your dwelling place. Because you would be breaking the Sabbath. You couldn't buy, you couldn't sell, you couldn't even start a fire. It says in Exodus 35:3, "You shall kindle no fire throughout your dwellings on the Sabbath day." You know, no fire at all. Now today, what do the Orthodox Jews, what do they do today? I mean, you can't start a fire, but I mean, you have to have light in your house. Remember when I was teaching you that about 10 years ago? Do y'all remember what I said? They put on, you know, because the Sabbath begins sunset Friday to Saturday, right? So they have automatic timers that turn on the lights through the house. Oh, yeah. And you know, and women, listen to this now. This is today. And so if you wouldn't even want to carry a mirror with you, because if you saw something, say you had a little hair that you didn't like over here or something, a gray hair, you know, "Ooh, what's that doing there?" You know, that coloring didn't take care of it or something. And you pulled it out, that would be considered work. So you can't do any of those things. So matter of fact, you couldn't even wear false teeth. Oh, it's, yes. I mean, I could go on and on about this, but I just don't have time. You couldn't even tie or untie a knot. That's how serious this was. And God was so serious about it. He said, if you do any work on the Sabbath day, Exodus 31:15, here it is, he shall surely be put to death. Now look at verse 33 and we'll find out what happened. And it says, "And those who found him gathering sticks, they brought him to Moses and Aaron and to all the congregation." Remember, this guy's, he knew what he should not be doing. In other words, this is defiant sin. He's breaking God's law. They put him under guard, or literally they arrested him, because it had not been explained what should be done to him. And then the Lord said to Moses, "This man shall surely be put to death, and all the congregation shall stone him with stones outside the camp." So as the Lord commanded Moses, all the congregation brought him outside the camp and stoned him with stones. And what happened to him? He died. Aren't you glad you're not under the law tonight? Amen. We're under grace. Thank God for that. "And again the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, Speak to the children of Israel. Tell them to make tassels on the corner of their garments throughout their generations, and to put a blue thread in the tassels of the corners. And ye shall have the tassel, that you may look upon it, and remember all the commandments of the Lord to do them, that you may not follow the harlotry which your own heart and your own eyes are inclined, and that you may remember to do all my commandments and be holy for your God, for I am the Lord your God." In other words, you belong to me and I belong to you, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the land of bondage, and so forth. I'm the Lord your God. So they'd sew the tassels and put them on their garments there and put one blue thread in them. And it was a visual aid, if you will. It was like a stick note that we use today. I have stick notes all over my office. Matter of fact, you know, since it's the end of the year, I've been cleaning away all my stick notes. It's amazing the things I've been finding that I didn't do. You know what I'm saying? And, but there was like a visual aid, a reminder that every time they saw that tassel and the blue thread through it, they said, "I'm to obey. I'm to obey all the commandments of the Lord." Now, in chapter 16, which we finally get to our text tonight, when we study through the book of Numbers, God didn't give us a detailed account of the 40 years and everything that happened throughout all the 40 years. He just gives us an occasional visit and so forth, and, or isolated incidents are here for us and so forth. Now we come to Korah. Matter of fact, Jude 11, I believe it is, speaks about the gainsaying of Korah, the things that he's going to do here. Korah had a problem. He had a problem with God. He had a problem with Moses and Aaron. He had a problem with God's authority and Moses' authority. So this rebellion here is that Korah, he was unhappy with who he was. You see, he was just a Levite, and that's what we're going to talk about tonight. So now Korah, the son of Itzar, the son of Kohath, the son of Levi, with Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, and On, the son of Peleth, the son of Reuben, look what they did. They took men, and they rose up before Moses with some of the children of Israel, 250 leaders of the congregation, representatives of the congregation, men of renown. Now, we don't know the place in the wilderness. We don't know the time in the wilderness. We just know what happened. Kohath is a man of certainly of influence, okay? He's a Kohathite. He's also a Levite, okay, from the tribe of Levi. And so here he has this influence going on, and he gets these allies together, Dathan and Abiram and On. And so what did they do? They went to the men of renown, and verse 3 tells us their purpose. They gathered together to support Moses. No. They gathered together against Moses and Aaron and said to them, "You take too much, or you assume too much upon yourselves, for all the congregation is holy." And that is a true word. All the congregation was holy in the eyes of God. God set them apart as a priesthood. He said, "You take too much, you know, all of us, we're all holy. Every one of us, or every one of them, and the Lord is among them. Why then do you exalt yourselves above the assembly of the Lord?" First of all, Moses and Aaron never, ever exalted themselves above the congregation of the Lord. Matter of fact, did Moses want this job? No. We just learned a few Wednesdays ago that Moses was the meekest man or the most humble man on all the face of the earth. He didn't want this job. God called him at the burning bush, trapped him, if you will. You know what I'm saying? Went up there, "Moses, Moses, you know the whole story. Take off your shoes. You're standing on holy ground." You know, and I'm sure Moses was saying, "I'd better run as fast as I can." But he didn't, and God called him. Moses didn't have anything to do with it. How about Aaron? Did God call Aaron? Yes. Where was Aaron when God called him? Remember, Moses was alone on Mount Sinai receiving all the instructions, all the things that he was supposed to be doing. He says, "Now Aaron is going to be the high priest." Aaron didn't even know about it. He was down in the camp. So God called Aaron and God called Moses. No one, they didn't have anything to do with it. You know, John the Baptist said this in John 3:27. He said, "A man can receive nothing unless it has been given to him from heaven." Boy, that's a true word, isn't it? See, Korah was fighting with God. He wasn't fighting against Moses, and he was dissatisfied with his position. You see, he was just a Levite. He didn't like that. He was a Kohathite. Remember the Kohathites. I'll tell you what they did in just a minute. We've already studied that out. But see, verse 10 tells us what Korah really wanted. See, Korah wanted to be a priest. He wanted to be exalted to that place. You know, God places us, each of us, every believer, in the body just as he chooses. Amen? The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 12:18, it says, "But now God," not man, not people in the church, "but now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as he pleased." I'm glad God does it, aren't you? And you know what? There's a lot of times that man's not happy with what God does. They don't like it at all. May I tell you something? If it's not a divine appointment, if God didn't choose the person and put the person there, if it's not a divine appointment from God, then it's rebellion, isn't it? For that person to go into that office or go into whatever he's doing. So the root complaint here was not wanting to stay where God placed him. I'm not happy being a Kohathite. I'm not happy being a Levite there and so forth. And the Kohathites, if we studied those out in chapter 2, remember? And they camped to the south side of the tabernacle. And the Kohathites, chapter 2 and chapter 3 and even in chapter 18, it tells us what their duties were. Remember the Kohathites. They served in the tabernacle. They were given to Aaron and to his sons, and they were to serve them and whatever they needed to do. And they were to take care every time the camp broke. Remember, Aaron would go and take off the blue, the coverings and so forth and lay them over the Ark of the Covenant. And the Kohathites would come in because they couldn't look upon the Ark of the Covenant, and they would put the golden poles there, through the Ark, and they would transport it. And so he's saying, you know what, I'm sick of transporting the furniture of the tabernacle, these holy, precious, sacred vessels from God. I'm tired of that. I want Aaron's job. I want to be a priest. And that's what he was saying. So it says, and so when Moses heard it, look what he did. He fell on his face. No one in leadership that's been in leadership for the Lord, no one in leadership can serve God and not one day in his ministry or her ministry, whatever it might be, not be attacked by man. Believe me, that's just common. It's going to happen. But what do you do when you're attacked? Well, you do what Moses did. How did he handle these rebels? You know what he did? He fell on his face, meaning that he went to the Lord in prayer. He got the answer, and look what God told him to do. And he spoke to Korah in verse 5 and all his company, saying, tomorrow morning, the Lord, not Moses, the Lord will show you or show who is his and who is holy and will cause him to come near to him. That one whom he chooses, he will cause to come near to him. Now do this. Take the censers. Remember, the censers were that vessel, if you will, where they would put the incense there and burn the incense there before the altar in the tabernacle. So take the censers, Korah and all your company, put fire in them, put incense in them before the Lord tomorrow, and it shall be that the man who chooses? The Lord chooses is the Holy One. And look what Moses says. He just reverses what they said to him. You take too much upon yourselves, you sons of Levi. In other words, Moses said, you think that I've gone too far? You think that I've done something wrong? He said, here's the thing. You want Aaron's place. And here's what God's going to do. It's not my decision. The Lord's going to make his decision. The Lord will show you and the Lord will choose. And then Moses said to Korah, hear now, you sons of Levi. He says, is it a small thing to you that the God of Israel has separated you from the congregation of Israel to bring you near to himself, to do the work of the tabernacle of the Lord, to stand before the congregation, to serve them? That's amazing what Moses just said, isn't it? Listen, Moses was saying, what's wrong with you? Why is it such a small thing in your eyes? God picked you. God chose you. Out of all the people, he chose the Levites to serve in the tabernacle. Look what it says. So separated you from the congregation to bring you near to God himself. Why? To work there in the tabernacle, to stand before the congregation so they could serve them. And he has brought you near to himself, you and all of your brethren, the sons of Levi, with you. And are you seeking the priesthood also? You see, Korah wanted what did not belong to him and could not belong to him. Therefore, you and all your company are gathered together against the Lord. And what is Aaron that you complain against him? You know, what do you do when someone is in a position like that? I mean, they're so highly favored by the Lord, and you know, they think, well, Moses said, it's just a small thing. He's saying, why are you not content serving God where God has called you, where God has placed you, where God has gifted you? In other words, all of you are just fighting against God. And then Moses sent to call Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab. Those were, remember, Korah's allies there. And they said, we will not come up. It is a small thing that you've brought us up out of the land flowing with milk and honey, and to kill us in this wilderness, and you should keep acting like a prince over us. Moreover, you have not brought us into the land flowing with milk and honey, nor given us an inheritance of field and vineyards. Will you put out the eyes of these men? In other words, you're going to keep blinding the people with your lies and so forth. We will not come up. You know, there's not a sadder passage of Scripture in the Bible. Let me ask you a question. Why did the children of Israel, why didn't they enter the promised land? The sin of unbelief. Oh, the giants, everybody, only Joshua and Caleb, they were the only ones that said, we can take these people. They're bread for us. God is for us and so forth. And what is Korah doing? See, he's a rebel. He's sowing discord in the body of Israel, if you will, the children of Israel. He's blaming Moses. He's saying, Moses, you know what? You're the one who brought us. We'll look at it again in verse 13. It says that you brought us up out of the land flowing with milk and honey. What land and brought us into this wilderness? What land are they talking about? They're not talking about Canaan, are they? No. In other words, you brought us out of Egypt, Moses. You led us into this wilderness, and we trusted you. And now, you know what? You haven't even brought us into the land of Canaan, the land of promise at all. And the reason is, it's because it's your fault. We don't trust you anymore. You're not the leader that you should be. So they're blaming Moses that he lost the promised land. But the fact of the matter is, we already know why. And they do too. They were afraid. So Korah, he's starting a rebellion, the gainsaying of Korah here. And it says, then Moses was very angry and said to the Lord, do not respect their offering. In other words, the censers of their incense there. Don't have any respect to them. He says, I've not profited at their expense. I haven't taken one donkey from them, nor have I hurt one of them. And Moses said to Korah, tomorrow you and all your company be present before the Lord, you and they, as well as Aaron. Let each take his censer and put incense in it, and each of you bring his censer before the Lord, 250 censers, both you and Aaron, each with his censer. So every man took his censer, put fire in it, laid incense on it, and stood at the door of the tabernacle of meeting with Moses and Aaron. And Korah gathered all the congregation against them at the door of the tabernacle of meeting. And then the glory of the Lord appeared to all the congregation. And the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, separate yourselves from among this congregation, the reason that I may consume them in a moment. Would you call that bad news? I said, that's some bad news. And then they, look what happened, Moses and Aaron, they fell on their faces and they said, oh, God, the God of the spirits of all flesh. In other words, God, you understand the heart of every person. Shall one man sin? One man sin. They're talking about Korah. He's the instigator. He's the rebel. He's the one that's causing all these problems. He's leading everyone astray. Shall one man sin and you be angry with everyone or all the congregation? So the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the congregation, saying, get away, or literally separate from the tents of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. I get that wrong every time. Then Moses rose and went to Dathan and Abiram. I got it right that time. And the elders of Israel followed him, and he spoke to the congregation, saying, depart now from the tents of these wicked men. Touch nothing of theirs, lest you be consumed in all their sins. So they got away from around the tents of Korah, Dathan, Abiram. And Dathan and Abiram came out, stood at the door of their tents with their wives, their sons, and their little ones. You know, it's a terrible thing to come against God. It's a horrible thing to rebel against the Lord. You know, there you see all the families, they're standing there, they're getting ready to be judged and so forth. But we do know, like the children of Korah, we know that they didn't die. Now, the rest of the children did die there in the tents, but not the children of Korah. They're in Numbers 26:11, it says that his children did not die. And that explains something to me, because when you study out the Psalms, you'll find that many of the Psalms there, I think it's 84, 85, 87, and 88 Psalms, the Psalm in the 80s there, they're from the sons of Korah. And it's interesting to read one of their Psalms, just one verse of it, especially Psalm 84:10, for it says this, for a day in your courts is better than 1,000. And they said, I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. You see, this goes right back to what we're studying tonight, the tents of wickedness. There they were standing there. And Korah's kid said, you know what, Dad, we're not a part of this. We're not going to rebel like you're rebelling. Even though we honor you, we love you, or whatever, we're not doing this. And God did not judge them and so forth. And they said, you know what, I would rather just have the position just as a doorkeeper. And they said, one day with God is better than 1,000 extra days of life without God. Amen? Better to be a doorkeeper in the house of God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. And so they were content exactly where the Lord had placed them. I'm going to ask you a question, are you? Think about that for a minute. I mean, you know, people, today in the church, we tend to look at different things like, you know, oh, that's a pastor, or that's an evangelist, or what. You know, that's no different than what you do. Amen? We all have different responsibilities. The question is, you know, are you content doing what God has called you to do? See, Korah's kids, they had no desire to be priests at all. They just said, you know what, I'll settle for a doorkeeper. Lord, I'll be wherever you want me to be. If you want me to be out in the parking lot picking up those cigarette butts that people throw out there to come out and do their lunch, you know, during the day, during Monday through Friday, and they throw their trash out there, I'll go pick it up, Lord. That's my job. I pick up trash. Or I go out there along the grass, you know, by the highway and pick up beer bottles every Monday morning, Lord, that they throw out there. I don't know why I don't throw them on that guy's church over there, but they throw them on ours, okay? You know? Being content where God has called you. I'm just a Levite. See, he didn't like that. I'm just a Levite. I'm just around. All I do is carry the ark. Every time we move, I have to go get it, pick it up, transport it, set it back. That's all I do. I'm not really worth much. I'm just a Levite. That's the way his thinking was. I want to be a priest. I want to be something that people look at. That's what Korah was doing. And Moses said in verse 28, he says, by this you shall know that the Lord has sent me. The Lord has sent me. I didn't send myself. I didn't call myself. The Lord has sent me to do all these works, for I have not done them of my own will. You know, Moses is making a very broad statement there. The same statement that I made Sunday. See, in other words, Moses said, I'm helpless. I don't have any power. This is not my power. This is not my wisdom. This is not my guidance. The cloud, you know, it moves by day. I move with it. You know, the pillar of fire by night. It's the Lord. It's his power. I'm just following him. So Moses said, you know what? God, I need a sign. I want you to show them a sign so they'll know the truth that you called me, that no one else called me. And he says in verse 29, if these men die naturally, he's talking to Korah now. He says, you know what? If these men die naturally like all men, or if they're visited by the common fate of all men, then the Lord has not sent me. But, that's a good word, if the Lord creates a new thing, Korah, in other words, something unique, something unbelievable. Let's say something like this. The earth opens its mouth and swallows them up and all that belongs to them, and that they go down alive into the pit. Now that sounds unique to me. Amen. That sounds like a new thing. All right. He says, then you will understand that these men have rejected the Lord. They're coming against me, Moses said, but they've rejected God because God's called me. Now it came to pass as he finished speaking all these words that the ground split apart under them. And I would say that is very suddenly, wouldn't you? And the earth opens its mouth, swallowed them up in their households, all the men with Korah, with all their goods, so that they and all those with them went down alive into the pit. The earth closed over them, and they perished from among the assembly. Don't you wish all of our problems were that easy? I mean, there it is. Hey, let's just, okay, Lord, here's the deal. Just do some new thing right now, all right? And you guys get on that side. I'm going to get on this side. And let's just see what God will do. And boy, talking about sudden, dramatic, never to be forgotten. I mean, an instant sinkhole there in the wilderness. You know, those sinkholes are scary, aren't they? I mean, you just never know. It's like these earthquakes that are happening, 20 of them already. I'm counting them. Yes, what do you think's going on? Well, it's the gas people, you know. Well, I don't really know. You never know. You know, I think there may be a whole new shaking going on. You never know. God may be trying to get our attention in Fort Worth and if, the attention in Texas. Who knows? But that's another story. But here they are, not one shred of evidence left. Everything just gone in seconds. And then all of Israel, who were around them, look what they did. They fled at their cry, and they said, oh, lest the earth swallow us up also. And fire came out from the Lord and consumed the 250 men, those would-be priests, in other words, who were offering incense. And then the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, tell Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, to pick up the censers out of the blaze, for they're holy. They're holy because, remember, they were set apart to, for the worship of the Lord, the incense and so forth. And he says, and scatter the fire far away or some distance away, and the censers of these men who sinned against their own souls, let them be made into hammered plates as a covering for the altar. Because they presented them before the Lord, therefore they are holy, and they shall be a reminder. They shall be a continual reminder, a sign of what happened on that day to the children of Israel. So Eleazar the priest took the bronze censers, which were who were burned up and presented, and they were hammered out as a covering on the altar to be a memorial to the children of Israel, that no outsider who is not a descendant of Aaron should come near to offer incense before the Lord, that he might not become like Korah and his companions, just as the Lord had said to them through Moses. So this sign was so they would never, ever forget that only a descendant of Aaron, and only, that's the Aaronic priesthood, that only from his family could anyone serve as priest in the tabernacle. And so on the next day, verse 41, the next day, not in a year, not in a month, not even a week. On the next day, all, not a couple, all the congregation of the children of Israel repented before the Lord. Oh my, sounds like the church here, doesn't it? They complained against Moses and Aaron, saying, you have killed the people of the Lord. Can you really believe that happened? First of all, they didn't want anything to do with God. They were rebelling against God. This incredible deception, the spirit of rebellion is now all through the whole congregation of Israel. And you know what they're going to do? They're going to repeat the same thing that Korah and his buddies did. Look what happened. It says, and now it happened when the congregation had gathered against Moses and Aaron, that they turned toward the tabernacle of meeting, and suddenly the cloud covered it. The glory of the Lord appeared. Then Moses and Aaron came before the tabernacle of meeting, and the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, well, here it is again, it's the same thing. Get away from these people. Get away from this congregation, that I may consume them in a moment. And what did Moses and Aaron do again for the third time? They fell on their faces. You know, that is a true leader. Did you know the one that They hated Moses. The one that they hated, the one that they were rebelling against, is the one that loved them. The one that fell on their face and said, oh God, you know, and starts praying for them. And so Moses said to Aaron, oh, take a censer and put fire in it from the altar, put incense on it, and take it quickly to the congregation. And look what he wanted them to do. And make atonement for them. Why? For the wrath of God has gone out from the Lord. The plague has begun. And then Aaron, remember Aaron's the high priest, he took it as Moses commanded and ran. Can you just see Aaron running right now? And Aaron, how old was Aaron? You know, how old was Moses when God called him? 80. Hey, Aaron was the oldest. Man, he's out there running through the congregation, you know, and running to the midst of the assembly. And already the plague had begun among the people. So he put the incense and made atonement for the people. And look what Aaron did. He stood between the dead and the living. So the plague was stopped. And now those who died in the plague were 14,700, besides those who died in the Korah incident. So Aaron returned to Moses at the door of the tabernacle of meeting, for the plague had stopped. What an incredible conclusion. Let's not get too comfortable yet, though. You know, isn't it amazing? One censer, one holy censer, did what 250 censers could not do. Why is that? It stopped the plague. Why? Because the Kohathites, those in Korah and his friends, the 250, the renowned men of Israel, You know what? They were out of their calling. They were out of the realm of their authority. God doesn't honor when a person steps out of the realm of where God's called them. I'm going to tell you what, you've just stepped out of your authority. Does that make sense? See, when you step out of your gifting, you're in trouble. God operates within the gifting that he's given to you, the given to me. And so, you know what? They weren't priests. They were out of their gifting. And only Aaron and his sons were divinely appointed as priests. And that's why when they went and interceded for, that's why the plague was stopped. But you know what's sad? Over 15,000 15,000 people died because of the sin of one man. One man, Korah. The gainsaying of Korah, the rebellion of Korah. See, he was just a Levite and he did not like it. Let me tell you where the place of safety is for all of us in the body of Christ. Wherever God called you to be in the body, that's your place of safety. Amen. These people stepped out of their calling. They were called to be Levites. They were called to work in the tabernacle. They were called to transport the furnishing. That's what the Kohathites did. But they stepped out of their calling. I'm just a Levite. I'm just a Kohathite. I don't like that. I want to be a priest. But God says, I didn't call you to be a priest. I called you to carry the furnishings of the tabernacle. I'm counting on numbers to teach us something. You know, we need to look at this because it's written as examples, so we'll learn from it. May I say to all of us, and I'm not by any way saying that this is happening at Calvary or anything like that, but you know, don't strive for position in the body of Christ. You know what I mean? Well, I'm just a big toe. I never see the sun. I never get the stock. The sock stinks. I'm down here. It's always dark, and he doesn't wash my feet, and you know, and I want to be an eye. I want to get out here and see what's happening. God says, no, you're a big toe. Do your job. Quit complaining. Amen? Listen, the thing is that Korah, you know, like I said, he wasn't content carrying the holy things of God. He wasn't content with the will of God for his life. He rebelled against God. He rebelled against God's authority. He rebelled against Moses. You know, the despising of God's leaders is today turning into a grievous sin in the church. You know, Korah wanted position, but he wanted position without divine appointment. Only God can put, every gift is God's, amen? Remember how we learned that, you know, Jesus, like we learned from John 15:5, Jesus said, without me you can do nothing. Talking about the fruit that we bear, you know, the natural fruit that we can bear, of course that would come from Adam, but supernatural fruit comes from being in Christ. And the thing about it is, it's not our fruit, it's Christ's fruit in us. It's supernatural fruit, amen? It doesn't even belong to us. It belongs to Christ. It's him working in our lives. Listen, we want to be, the position we want to be in is the position that God puts us in. That's the safest place to be. And you know what? God has a perfect place for every believer in the body of Christ. And let him put you there. I preached a message one time and I stole the title. I know I did because everybody used it in the world, but bloom where you're planted. Amen. Just bloom wherever, you know, stay in divine order. You remember what it says in Ephesians 4:7. Let me read it to you. It says, but to each one of us, that's all of us, every Christian, to each one of us, grace, unmerited favor, grace, that ability, grace was given, freely given, according to the measure of Christ's gift. Every believer has a perfect gift. A perfect gift from Jesus. Amen? Think about that. I'm talking about a perfect gift, and it comes by grace. It means you can't earn it. It means that you can't work for it. It means that you go to seminary. You can't go to seminary and get it. It's absolutely free, and Christ gave it to you. And it says, according to the measure, in Ephesians 4:7, according to the measure of Christ's gift. It means that Jesus determined the exact measure of the gifting that you have. I mean, maybe you're a 100-watt light bulb. I don't know. Or maybe you're a 75. Or maybe you're a 25, if they still make that. I don't know. But whatever it is, God says, this is what you need. He's given it, said, this is what I want. This is what I want you to do. And, you know, when we find our gifting, that's when we walk in blessing, okay? And the gift that that God gives us, it enables us to accomplish exactly what God wants to accomplish in his body. It says in 1 Peter 4:10, it says, but each one has received a gift, minister it one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Good stewards, meaning the gift that we have, we're just a steward over. Doesn't belong to us. And you know what? We're going to give an account of our giftings. Romans 12:6 says, having then gifts differing according to the grace that has been given to us. Listen to what Paul says. He said, let us use them. I think that the safest place in the world is being in the body of Christ exactly where God has placed you. Amen. But then not complaining about it. Well, I'm just this or I'm just that. I'm just the big toe, or I'm just the right ear, or I'm. Listen, to be in the body of Christ is supernatural. Amen? And, you know, remember what it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12? You know, the parts that are not seen, oh, how important they are. Like I talked about the big toe a moment ago. The big toe is the most important thing I have got going for me right now, because if I didn't have a big toe, I couldn't stand here, could I? It's actually supporting me. It's keeping me right here. But if I didn't have that big toe, I would not be able to stand. Think about that for a moment. Every part, God says, oh, I know exactly where you need to be. You remember where it said there when Aaron ran into the midst of the congregation of Israel? And it says that he stood between the dead and the living. Boy, that's powerful, isn't it? That's what Jesus did for us. You know, only God can save us. Only Jesus can save us. Amen. And he stands right now between us and God. In other words, he's seated at the right hand of God. He ever liveth to make intercession for all of us. He loves us so much. He wants to use you, to use me, to use this church. And he is there right now. And we can go to the Lord. We can go into the Holy of Holies in heaven, if you will. We can go right there and because our forerunner is in heaven right now. He's gone before us. He's paved the way for us. So we can follow right behind him. He's the anchor. He is our anchor. It's our anchor, meaning our salvation is steadfast, the Bible says in Hebrews 6:20 and 19 and 20. Steadfast and sure. I'm so thankful that we can depend upon the Lord. Good times, bad times, no matter what we're facing. Don't just say, well, I'm just this in the body of Christ. I'm just a Levite, or I just pick up trash, or da-da-da-da-da. Let me ask you a question. Is every part of your body important? Yes. Right? Is there any part of your body that you would like to say, I can do without it right now? I don't need my right lung. You know what I'm saying? I don't need the right side of my brain. Doesn't work anyway. I mean, do you understand what I'm saying? No, which part of your body are you willing to say, I don't need you? None. Can I ask you another question? Do you want everything in your body to work for you? You see, if we're not functioning, the Bible says in Romans 12:4 and following, it talks about that all of us don't have the same, we're in the same body, but we all don't have the same function. See, you exist, I exist to serve the body. Now listen, my lungs never quarrel with me. They don't say, Bill, I don't know that I want to breathe for you this morning, okay? No, they're wanting to work, amen? Yeah, you know, my hands, they don't get mad. I mean, if I'm walking down and I trip sometimes, you know, because I come through the sanctuary and it's dark in here, you know, and I always, since we built this thing, I'm still confused. I haven't learned the layout. And, you know, and you fall. Well, my hands never went, I'm not going to brace him this time. No, my hands immediately, they go out to catch myself. Don't yours? Well, yes, why? My body loves me. My body is for me. See, we need each other. Don't just say, well, I'm just a Christian. I just show up, da-da-da-da-da. No, no, no. You exist to serve the body. I exist to serve the body. And when we all come together, it says in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 16 and 7, when we all come together and each part does its share. Oh, then we start growing up into Christ-likeness. See, we are the body of Christ. We need one another desperately. And may I tell you, as we move into 2014, we're going to need each other more than we ever have. Oh, how we need to pray for one another, help one another, be good to one another, be kind to one another, be imitators of God and love one another. Love never fails. Amen. Father, we thank you tonight. That, Lord, we just don't want to say I'm just this or I'm just that. We just want to say, Lord, wherever you've placed us, if we're a doorkeeper, if my job is straightening chairs in the sanctuary, my job is greeting people, my job is just changing diapers in the nursery, whatever it is. Oh, it's a special job. It's a wonderful job. Oh, Lord, let us never, ever, ever just say, I'm just this. Let us be in divine order, Lord, and serve you and do it with a heart full of adoration and worship to you, Lord. I ask you to bless your people tonight, Father, that you'd take away every fear. Lord, the burdens that they're carrying, maybe in marriage or finances or sickness, whatever it might be, or just worries, whatever is coming their way. Maybe some tonight, Lord, are worrying, say, here we are in the Christmas season again and funds are limited. May I say, if that's what you're saying in your heart, may I remind you that God is never limited, that God is bigger than anything you're facing in your life. Lord, let us look unto you, turn to you, the author, the finisher of our faith. Meet every need. Those that are listening live tonight too, Lord, meet their needs. Let them sense your presence, knowing that you're near them, that you love them, that you care for them. Embrace them, Lord. Embrace us. Help us to see more clearly as this new year approaches. Let us be able to know how to pray, how to operate in your wisdom, Lord. And may we be like, Lord, those who see things and know what's coming, to know how to discern the times, Lord. Give us wisdom. Speak to us, Lord, before it ever happens. And touch this church, touch this body. Now we love you and we praise you tonight. In Jesus' name, and the church says, amen.